Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
Try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. This is the UCF Report. As always, I'm your host, Sean Green. This is episode 4 of the UCF Report. So again, we appreciate you guys coming back. Probably was a hectic weekend for most of you, if not all of you listening. And by hectic, I mean relaxing, just watching NCAA basketball the entire weekend. And some Orlando Magic basketball, which that was mostly fun up until Saturday. And then it was pain. Fun fact, this is the second time I'm recording this. Because, you know, tech issues are fun. But what's great is for you, you get to hear it all for the first time. And I'm going to go through basically everything I said, just a little shorter. But thank you guys again for tuning in. Obviously, we're going to get into all your UCF sports that you love and care about. Football, a little bit of basketball, baseball, softball. And we'll start with football, obviously, because that's what we start with every time. But football was off. As you guys know, they were off last week, spring break. So it is now Tuesday. They're going to be practicing all week this week. And we're going to be getting a lot of news coming out of spring practices. But again, we kind of talked a little last week about recruiting. And I kind of wanted to bring it up a little this week because, you know, 247 Sports posted their, you know, top 25 ranking so far, at least, for 2025's recruiting. And I think it just amazes me that UCF is where they are. Because right now they are ranked 14th in 247's top 25. Now, UCF is already, if you go down the list, UCF is really going after these blue chip prospects. And they have been for a couple years now. That's been UCF's MO for a while, is we need to go after the top blue chip guys in the Georgia-Florida pipeline and get them to come here. I think they're one of five schools not in the SEC and Big Ten that have three-plus blue chip prospects in the 2025 class. If you would have told any UCF fan 10 years ago if that would happen, I think everybody would tell you that's crazy. What's also crazy is UCF is not done. There are a lot of names that you guys will be hearing over the next coming weeks and months that are trending, that might be trending to UCF. Names that, again, 3 years ago you would have laughed at and said, yeah, there's no way we get that guy. Now, that's credit to the staff, like I always do. I always give credit to the staff because it's incredible the turnaround of the recruiting aspect for UCF. And Gus Malzahn plays a part in that. Now, how do you keep it going? Well, you keep the coaches that you have in place. Obviously, change the ones that are bad. But you keep the head of the snake in Gus Malzahn, who I know has taken heat over the last couple years. Got a lot of heat last year, but you keep the head of the snake because ultimately Coach stability brings players. You don't want your head coach getting fired. What was the problem with UCF for in their best times? You always felt like UCF would have a good 1 or 2 years, and that coach is gone. Scott Frost had a really good couple years. Well, one really good year, left, took the job at Nebraska. Hired Josh Heupel, had a really good first year, some years after, leaves, goes, and gets hired at Tennessee. In today's college football landscape, and even previously, that was the epitome of players basically deciding, should I go to this school if my head coach might not be there for the 4 years that I'm there? UCF has kept the head man in place, given a contract extension, and they're recruiting at a high level to where you're looking at top 25 rankings for 2025, and UCF is 14th. And they're one of the top schools, it seems like it's going to be, in back-to-back years for gaining blue-chip prospects. Now, again, a lot can change, a lot can happen over the coming weeks and months. You know, it is a commitment is only a commitment for the time being. You have to continue to work to make sure you're getting those type of players and making sure you're keeping those relationships sound and good with those guys that have committed to you, while also trying to make time recruiting players that haven't committed to you or have committed elsewhere. But to be ranked 14th in the top 25 in March, as of March 26th, to be ranked 14th with many months to go, you can safely assume that A, UCF will probably stay in that top 25 ranking, and B, UCF could potentially, I say potentially, make their way up into the top 10. And if that happened, oh, the whole world would collapse on its head. Now, Texas Tech is 10th right now. So Texas Tech is doing a really good job recruiting. Clearly right now in the Big 12 specifically, Texas Tech and UCF are kind of carrying the weight, carrying the load. But it's exciting to see, and I'm excited to see who else could potentially commit in the coming weeks. There's a potential commitment, like I said, on March 30th on my other show, Charge On, TJ Alford. He's committing March 30th, so I'd keep a lookout for him. Not saying I have a good read. I thought I had a good read that he'd be committing to UCF. I'm sure the staff feels confident, but he's got a lot of heavy suitors. And again, if he did commit to UCF, he would be the top-ranked recruit in UCF history, breaking the record previously held by another 2025 recruit. So he held the record for about 2 months. But we'll see what happens. Good chance he doesn't come to UCF, but if he does, UCF would move up that top 25 pretty quickly. All right, let's talk a little basketball. Obviously, we knew UCF is out of, their season's over. We talked about it last week. Lost in the Big 12 tourney, then lost to USF. We actually didn't talk about it. I just said I didn't feel confident about the game, and I was right. USF, you know, call like it is, they played the better game. UCF didn't deserve to win. Were the refs bad at the end? Sure. That's the epitome of basketball in college, I guess, is if you rely on the refs to do everything for you, it usually won't end up well. UCF made their comeback in the second half. It was looking fine. It was looking good. It was looking like UCF might be able to take advantage, but it was a little too little too late, and USF made more plays in the end, which it felt like that was the epitome of UCF season. Get down in the first half, fight their way back in the second half, but just can't get over the hump with their offense. If UCF just had a little bit more offense but the same defense, they'd be one of the best teams in the country. Now, that's saying a lot since UCF's offense is really bad. But like we said, Johnny Dawkins, it hasn't come out that he's gotten a contract extension, right? There's been no news, no word. Every day that goes by, we can safely assume that Johnny Dawkins has saved his job, and he deserves it. He has deserved to save his job. Again, it seemed like after the USF loss, again, people were like, this is unacceptable. And maybe it's just a couple Twitter accounts that somehow pop up on my feed. But Johnny Dawkins deserves to keep his job. I've been saying that for not just a couple months, but basically since the beginning of the year. But I think, I don't remember if I said this on my show, Charge On, or here, but basically what this is going to come down to is I think Johnny does have one more year left on his contract. I think that's, he has to have at least 1 year, or, you know, and I don't know the contract situation, but it seems like he has 1 year left on his deal. I think UCF and Johnny are both inclined to go the course of that deal and take up this final year. UCF's going to give him the opportunity to improve in year two in the Big 12 and show the recruiting aspects that he's been doing and see if this team can get even a little bit better. And if he does that, then UCF will grant him a contract extension. And if not, and he stays kind of the same, then UCF will look elsewhere. I think Johnny's the perfect man for this job. I think he's recruited really well. And I'm excited to see what he can do next year in the Big 12 with some guys coming in. And again, that's going to be the main focus. Who does he bring in from the transfer portal? Who does he sign? Or I know we've got, you know, he's signing for the 24-25 class, and especially the 25 class. But who is he bringing in from the transfer portal? And how are those freshmen going to help the team next year? Obviously, Jalen Sellers is coming back. That's exciting. So I think we'll talk once the team is finalized. And I don't know when that will be, but you know, there's a couple names out there that seem like they might be trending to UCF. And I think if those names do come, UCF might be pretty decent next year. All right, let's talk some UCF baseball and softball. But we'll start with the one that brings a little bit more joy to our hearts, which is baseball as of right now. And then we'll get to softball. But since I spoke to you last time, I said we had, you know, that Florida Atlantic game on Tuesday and Kansas series that weekend. UCF beat FAU 3-2 at John Ileano Park on March 19th. That was a really good game, and UCF really figured it out late to kind of hold the lead. And then the series versus Kansas, the first game, listen, I said it was going to be tough, right? It seems like UCF is a really good home team to go on the road to Lawrence. Kansas isn't a bad Big 12 team. They were, again, pretty decent. I think they were 11-9, if I'm not mistaken, before this week. No, 11-8. They were 11-8. Heading in there, I think they were 3-3 in the Big 12. In the Big 12. So they weren't a bad baseball team. Very decent baseball team. But again, tough challenge to go on the road in Lawrence and win a series. They lost the first game 3-13. And I think we all kind of were like, oh, yikes. Okay, well, that's not great. But again, in baseball, scores can be misleading. Just sometimes you have it in a game, sometimes you don't. But the thought is like, okay, UCF playing the really good teams, is this another softball situation? They beat a number four Florida team, right? So they've proven that they can beat good teams. So I wasn't necessarily nervous, but I was like, 13-3 is not that great. Well, then they had a doubleheader on Saturday, and they won the first one 6-2 and the second one 4-1 to win the series against Kansas. And the thing about the baseball team is, listen, they might drop a game in the series, but I think they've proven to you and they've proven to us that when it comes to the series, they win series. They win baseball series. They might win 2 out of 3. They showed that last week against Oklahoma State. They won 2 out of 3. They won the series. Now, they did lose the season series to Oklahoma. It's a pretty good Oklahoma team, number 2 in the Big 12. But then you go back. They won the series against South Florida. They won the series against Samford. Technically, they played Florida Atlantic. This was the second time they played FAU, and they won that. So you can kind of say they won the series against FAU. So UCF has not – they're not winning series outright. They're not going 3-0, right? But they're winning what actually matters. They're winning 2 out of 3. If you keep winning 2 out of 3, you're going to be playing postseason baseball, and you'll be successful in postseason baseball. Now, they have a series this weekend against Texas Tech at John Liliano Park on Thursday, March 28th at 6 p.m., Thursday, March 29th at 6 p.m., and Saturday, March 30th at 1 p.m. So you can make Saturday plans. It's smack dab 1 p.m. on Saturday. So if you want to do something after or before, you can do so. All these games will be broadcast on ESPN Plus. And I think the only game that won't be on 96.9 The Game is the Friday matchup at 6 p.m. Everything else will be on 96.9 The Game for radio and ESPN Plus if you choose to watch it or listen to it on the radio or TV. But definitely trying to make it out to the ballpark this weekend. Preferably Friday. Friday's Olympics night. I don't know what that's going to entail, but I'm sure that would be fun. 6 p.m. on Friday if you want to partake in that. All right, let's close with softball. Another rough weekend. Played Texas at the UCF softball complex. And, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I don't like to be negative. I only am negative when I have to be negative. And listen, at the end of the day, you played number 2 Texas. I said on the last episode, was nervous for the series. You're playing, again, one of the top 5 teams in the country when it comes to softball. And first game, they lost 5-0. The other 2 games were a little closer. I give the softball team and Coach Bear credit. They lost 4-2 and 3-1. So they lost the series 3-0, and that is now 7 losses in a row for the softball team. And again, I said it on my first recording of this, and I'll say it now. And I'll say it, I think I've said it on literally every episode. They beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, and they lose to, if there's a number before that team, it's most likely a loss. And I'll go through the ranked losses. So they're 14-14 right now. Before I do that, they're 14-14. They're 2-7 in conference play. So that means, hey, technically, I mean, they've lost 7 games out of conference, 7 games in conference. But I mean, they've only won 2 conference games. So 12 of their wins have come from out of conference games. Now, I'm not going to go through everything, but I'm just going to talk about the ranked losses. The ranked losses or wins, but I don't think they have any. So they kind of got saved because in Clearwater they were a part of the Shriners Children's Clearwater Invitational where they played North Carolina and Wisconsin. They lost to North Carolina. They beat Wisconsin. Those are 2 unranked opponents. They didn't play number 14 Kentucky, number 22 Northwestern, or number 19 UCLA. They didn't do it. So their record could be a lot worse right now. The Mary Nutter Collegiate Classic, they played number 18 Mississippi State and lost. They lost to number 23 Oregon. They lost to number 8 Missouri. They lost to number 5 Tennessee. Then they lost to number 22 South Carolina in the Knights Classic. Then they won 2 games against Kansas to win the season series. Then they lost 3 to Oklahoma State, and they were number 4 in the country, and then 3 to Texas. What I'm saying is this team seems like they're an average softball team. They might be able to win you a series against a middle-of-the-pack opponent, but if a team is ranked, the softball team will not beat them. Now, luckily, the good thing is they don't really have many more ranked opponents. They have number 19 Baylor in the middle of April, and then number 1 Oklahoma at the end of April. So you only have 6 more games right now against ranked opponents. So UCF looks like they have a good chance to finish the season strong. And I'm excited to see if they can do that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 4 of the UCF report, please go subscribe to my other show, my main show on the Believe Network. It's called Charge On. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. We talk all things UCF football. If you are a UCF football junkie, that is the show for you. We have an episode every week where we go into all things UCF football. And if you want UCF or Orlando Magic content, please follow me on all my socials at Sean M.R. Green. That is Sean M.R. Green. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into the Zone Heads Orlando podcast. This has been episode 4 of the UCF Report. I will see you next week.
Today's episode of the Zone Heads Orlando podcast presented by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind. You want commercials, live endorsements, podcast production? We can make it sound this good. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Go to the website, get a feel for what we offer, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Follow this show, keep up on Facebook by becoming a Zone Head, also on Instagram and on YouTube. Thanks so much for checking us out today. Continue to let the internet know we're out here. Throw us a follow, rate us, review us. It goes a long way. We greatly appreciate it. Tomorrow, we chat and chill with our special guest of the week. Chat soon, Zoneheads.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Sean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today. And for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.